morning I want us to begin a new series of messages on the subject of Satan's most successful lies. Most of you are probably aware that the devil tempts people. At least if you don't know that, you're new in the faith, because that is one of his number one occupations, is to tempt people to do what God does not want them to do. And no one is better at doing this than he is. He has had so many years of practice, but yet he seems to be using the same lies to tempt people he's always used down through the ages. It's as though, why try something new when what you're now doing works so well? And so there are a number of lies that Satan just keeps repeating generation after generation after generation, because they are so effective. And we're going to be looking at these various lies in the weeks to come. I've often thought, I wonder if the devil has enrollment classes for the fallen angels so they can learn to be as efficient in tempting people as he is. Anyway, it's not unusual to hear somebody say when they're caught doing something wrong, "The devil made me do it." The truth is, the devil really can't make you do anything. Now, he can make the temptation so alluring that it will persuade you to do as he suggests, but it's your decision, and he cannot force you to make that decision. And thus, God will hold you responsible for the way you deal with every temptation that you have to face. If you know the story of Adam and Eve and Eve's temptation, you know that she tried to, when God asked her about the fall, she turned to him and said, "Well, it wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it." And God said, I won't accept that. You must accept the responsibility for what you decide to do, and you cannot blame the devil for what your decision was. Now, in tempting, Satan's best tool of persuasion is a lie. That's his number one method, and it works. And it's amazing that people are willing to believe the lies that Satan tells and never ask for any proof or verification. They just blindly accept the lie that he tells. John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar." Did you know the fallen heart of man is more open to the devil's lies than it is to God's truth? This is quite obvious. People will turn away their ear from hearing what God has to say, but will line up and pay good money to hear what the devil has to say through his counselors. The lie, I think, is preferred because it reaffirms actually what man wants to hear. God, in his truth, does not tell man what he wants to hear. What he hears is something that condemns him, that goes against what he wants to do. So Satan comes along and tells man what he wants to hear. In other words, the lie is good news, and thus the lie is welcome news, because the lie makes me appear to be good in my eyes rather than bad. And so I don't consider myself to be bad. If the Satan's lie is correct, then I'm not bad. And so therefore I must turn my ear away from hearing anything besides the lie. That's the appeal of the lie. It sanctions the evil things that I really want to do. It labels good what God would label bad, but I want someone to label what I do good so I can go around saying to people, "I'm a good person. I don't do bad things." And you ask, "Well, who told you that?" And I say, "Well, the devil told me that. Or the devil's spokesman told me that. Or the devil's scholars told me that." I don't use the word devil, but I think, of course, what their people are telling me is the truth, and they're getting their information, I believe, from Satan and the evil spirits. And so we find that one can yield to temptation, and that is, they can do as the devil suggests and still end up saying they are good, they have done right, and they have not done wrong according to the information they received from, again, the spokesman that have been influenced by the devil to reach these conclusions. Good is bad and bad is good. In other words, the sinner says, I should be applauded, not condemned. I haven't done anything wrong, and my source of information, my source of guidance, and my source of counsel comes from the experts. Who are the experts? People influenced with the mind and thought of Satan. And so Satan's lies are designed to make bad things look like good things and bad people look like good people. That's why it's so hard to convict somebody of wrong, so hard to condemn somebody, why they get so upset, because they don't feel they're doing wrong. They don't see anything wrong with it because something has convinced them that these things are not bad, but instead they are good. I would think the devil would have a little bit harder time lying to a Christian than he would to a non-Christian. I say this because I would assume that Christians would know his sales pitch, should be able to spot some of his favorite lies when they are heard spoken by those who follow him. I expect Christians who have learned the truth as spoken by God regarding the issues that the devil tells the lies about. Now, if you're a Christian and you don't know what Satan's most successful lies are, well then, you stay with me in this series and I'll tell you some of the most important lies that he uses to influence the most people. I'll tell you the ones that work most of the time on everybody. And Christians must be real careful or even they will again be taken in by these lies of Satan. This morning we'll deal with the first one. Here it is. Life's greatest pleasure comes from doing things that God forbids. Again, life's greatest pleasures come from doing things God forbids. In other words, Satan says, if you want to get pleasure out of life, then God is not the one you should go to for advice. God is the last person who would know anything about earthly pleasure for earthly people. He's too heavenly minded, too out of touch with mankind, and any source of suggestions about having pleasure from any source besides God would be a good idea. God is the last place you want to go to get ideas on how to have pleasure in this life. In other words, Satan indicates that God is not interested in your pleasure, only His pleasure. And if there's anything to be said, God's laws will stop you from having pleasure on earth. And it's almost an ironclad guarantee that if you obey the laws of God, you're going to be sad, miserable, upset, denied. I mean, you're going to be in a real bad situation. Because the things that God forbids for you to do are the very things that can bring you the most happiness and the most joy and the most pleasure. He puts His finger on the very things that can make you the happiest if you get to do them. And so that's why I said his lie is life's greatest pleasures come from doing things God forbids, because God forbids you doing those things, says Satan, which can bring you the greatest amount of pleasure in your life. Satan says God knows which ones are the most pleasurable, and he takes all those things away from you. And so if you want to miss out on happiness, if you want to be a sad sack, if you want to go around moping and groping all the time, if you want to have no reason to live, well then get yourself tied down with God and His commandments and His laws, His thou shalt nots. Basically, He says thou shalt not be happy. Thou shalt not have any pleasure. And make sure that you don't get to do those various things that will bring you the greatest pleasure. Now, the first person devil set up with this kind of logic was Eve in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6, you have the story. I'm just going to read one part of the section of scriptures. Satan is talking to Eve, and he says to her, the day you eat of this fruit, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here he was saying to her, I think, in a roundabout way, Eve, did you know that your greatest pleasure is yet to be known? Oh, you've got some pleasures here in the garden, but God has taken from you the greatest opportunities you have to gain the greatest amount of pleasure you can. And it's all wrapped up in that tree. That's the pleasure tree. The forbidden tree is God saying, I forbid for you to have pleasure. I forbid pleasure for you. That's the way Satan sets this up. Now, it was a lie, but she began to listen to him. And he says, you know, the knowledge that you will gain from disobeying God's will, breaking God's law, the knowledge you will gain will be knowledge that can bring you tremendous happiness, the pleasure and happiness known only to God's. And Eve listened to that. And she must have thought, you know, God's withholding from me the knowledge that can bring me even more pleasure than I now enjoy in this garden. And maybe God does not want me to be completely happy, and that's why he put this fence around this pleasure tree, this boundary, this law, this commandment. I couldn't touch it. And so there's a pleasure I'm missing out on, and it's probably the greatest pleasure that I could ever have. That must have been the way she was thinking. And so she accepted the lie, believed it, ate the forbidden fruit. And even after she fell, people, here's the sad thing, she still believed this same lie. The greatest pleasure comes from doing what God says you cannot do. Taking what God says you cannot take. Having what God says you cannot have. There is pleasure in doing what God forbids. And folks, that lie started in the garden. It's a good, successful propaganda lie of Satan. It works. And most people today will almost put their hands over their ears and say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear it. And they will contend that God is wrong, the commandment is wrong, and all it's intended to do is to rob them of their pleasure. There are many, many people today who believe the best place for the Ten Commandments to be posted is in the trash can. In other words, there is great pleasure today to be had and gained by breaking the Ten Commandments. That's why so many folks are breaking the Ten Commandments. Because of them, these ten things offer them the most pleasure if they do just the opposite of what God says. And so much of society today regards the commandments as bad counsel. Definitely, if followed, will wreck any chance of happiness. And so the commandments of God are regarded as lies. And if followed, would just take all the fun out of living. A lot of people find that their greatest pleasure and their greatest enjoyments involve lying and stealing and immorality and coveting and greed. All things God says you shall not do. And man says, yes, but I get most of my pleasure out of doing the very things that you laid those commandments down to stop me from doing. Just think of how much of our entertainment world, TV, theaters, magazines, books, plays, are built around pleasure derived from breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And not only that, but today, those who speak out in America on the side of God's laws, on the side of the Ten, they're ridiculed. They're called radicals today and fanatics and bigots. They're said to be the crazy side of the population. And nothing could be worse than for these people to get political control and take over the country with their thou shalt not agenda. And this would result in a sad day in American history if these commandment-keeping people got in control and tried to shove the Ten Commandments down the throats of the American people. Well, that would destroy the chance of our people to ever be happy again. Now, folks, America has bought into this lie. The masses believe, people, that forbidden pleasure offers some of life's greatest pleasures. Forbidden pleasures offer the best pleasure. And nothing should be allowed to stop the population from getting pleasure out of doing those things that God forbids. In other words, God, get your hand off our favorite pleasure makers. Take your commandments and go back to hell. Because we don't believe what you have to say is true. Now, let me ask you a question. Does the devil have a good case against God here? All these charges he makes against God and against God's laws being bad for people and destroying any chance of pleasure and happiness. I mean, can we say God has a point? I mean, Satan has a point here that's correct. Satan does his best to turn people against God, and this is one of the tricks he uses by convincing them that God is bad for them. What God says, what God's counsel is, what God's guidance is, it's all bad. It can only end up making you unhappy instead of happy. Now, is that a fair complaint that Satan makes about God? Does he have a good case against God? This would be a strong argument. A lot of folks have bitten into this, just like Eve bit the fruit. That God will take all your chance of happiness away from you if you do what he says. Now, let me say this to you. Are there pleasures derived from doing what God forbids? In other words, is there pleasure in sin to be had? Now, if I asked man's spirit that question, the answer is going to be no. There is no pleasure in sin to be had. Not from man's spirit. Now, if I ask man's fallen nature, the old sinful flesh, that question, that flesh is going to answer me yes. That's absolutely true. God will take all my fun away from me. And in that sense, that's correct. But Satan, you see, tries to occupy all of our attention today solely with the demands and interests and hungers and lust of the flesh. Focus all your time and attention on satisfying the pleasure, hunger, thirst of the flesh. And so that's all there is to you and me. But that's not all there is to you and me. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit. That makes up all of us. And yet Satan says, spend all your time on catering to the wants of the carnal nature of the body. Now, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Just ignore the total man and just major on bringing pleasure to that one part of you. It's called the sinful flesh. Now, this is the trick of the devil, folks. This is the lie. You're more than a sinful nature. But he forgets that you ought to try to bring some pleasure to the rest of your life. I'll guarantee you this. You can sin all you want to and break all the commandments you want to, and that's not going to make your spirit happy. I mean, you can do all the sin you can name, but you're not going to be happy. A part of you cannot be made happy by sin. It just can't. And that's your spirit. Many times your soul will not be made happy by your sin. It'll be made sad, regretful. Many times your body will be hurt because of your sin. But we put all of our emphasis on just the pleasure for the old carnal sinful nature. Forgetting about the body and the soul and the spirit as though we didn't have one. But that is us. We make the flesh our sole concern and its happiness our only goal and forget that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. This is a very lopsided, foolish view of life. You're much more than a sinful nature. You have more to satisfy than a pleasure-seeking maniac. Your spirit craves for pleasure. Your soul craves pleasure, as does your body. But Satan says, just forget about those three. Just neglect them and major only on satisfying the flesh. Jesus applied to this when he said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? You're more than a sinful nature, people. But Satan doesn't get that through to you. He doesn't want you to understand that you're composed of more than one person. You have a soul. You have a spirit as well as a body. This is one question Satan never wants you to consider. How about pleasure for my spirit? Satan has none. Satan can't give you any. How about pleasure for my soul? Satan doesn't have any. He can't give you any. The world can't give you any. You see, that has to come from God, people. That's the situation you find yourself in. Thus, you can never be happy as long as your soul and spirit is unhappy. And to say God has no interest in man's pleasure is a lie. God has interest in the total man's pleasure. He has no interest in the pleasure of the flesh. I'll tell you that. None whatsoever. Or to say that God does not know how to supply man with appropriate pleasure is, again, a lie. In Psalms 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. He's the expert on joy. You think heaven is the saddest place in creation? I don't think it is. Everybody in heaven is moaning and groaning. They're all sad because they can't do anything to bring them pleasure. That's not heaven. And thy presence is fullness of joy. How much joy? When you get something full, folks, you can't get any more. At thy right hand there are, and here's this word, pleasures. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures for the total man. That's what he's talking about. You see, your soul and your spirit have as much right to pleasure as your body does. It has more right to pleasure than your flesh does. And man can never be happy as long as two-thirds of him is totally ignored. You look in the mirror and you ignore the soul and the spirit and take care of the body. How can you be happy if you're ignoring two-thirds of yourself? Another trick I think the devil plays is that he never tells the whole story of his sales pitch. He's real smart there. He never tells the whole story. He gets about halfway through with his temptation, and then he goes back and repeats himself. He's kind of like a broken record. He just never finishes the sentence. He never gives you the before and after picture. He gives you the before, but he never gives you the after. He draws attention to some forbidden pleasure and tantalizes you with what he thinks you will get out of this, and you anticipate the pleasure to be derived, but he never mentions the aftermath. He never mentions the disastrous consequences that often befall those who nibble at the bait, who take a bite. He told Eve beforehand how wonderful it would be to be like God. He never told her about the death and the consequence of the fall. He never told her that. He just didn't tell the whole story. He never talks about a sad ending or a bad ending. He just tells you why forbidden pleasure is very safe. You'll be all right. Nothing will happen to you. You'll profit. You'll benefit. You'll gain. Nothing to fear. But remember, he's a liar. I mean, do this way. Ask the devil, if you can talk to him, you can't. But ask the devil, where's he going to end up? He's got the before and after picture for himself. Where are you going to end up, old boy? Following your own counsel. I mean, you're giving us this counsel for pleasure, and undoubtedly you follow the same counsel for pleasure. So where are you going to end up? Well, he knows where he's going to end up. He's going to end up in a place called the lake of fire, suffering and punishment. There's no pleasure in that. You focus your life on satisfying the fleshly lust for forbidden pleasure, and don't be surprised if you end up with more trouble than you do pleasure. Don't be surprised now. I'm just going to open the door for you here, let you see the truth. I mean, don't be surprised if sin gives you more trouble than it does pleasure. When all the dust is settled and everything is said and done, sometimes sin gives you a lot more trouble than the pleasure it gives you. And I don't think a moment of any kind of pleasure is worth an eternity of torment in hell. I really don't, folks. I've never seen that kind of pleasure yet that you could sell your soul for. Don't forget, there is an end to all this pleasure seeking that opposes the will of God. There is an end coming. Satan may say there's no end, but I tell you, folks, walk by the cemetery, there is an end coming. And as sure as there is a God, there is a payday coming. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But for many, if not most, you don't have to wait till you die to find out that there are some sad consequences to following the pursuit of forbidden pleasure. In Proverbs 13, 6 and 15, wickedness will overthrow the sinner like a bucking horse. It'll finally pitch him out and stomp on him. And the way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard on the transgressor. Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, there is no peace, says the Lord to the wicked. In Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sin. The pleasure shall bind him up and make him a captive. The devil never mentions also the pleasures that you lost when you lost God's blessing by choosing to go against God's will. Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. A lot of things that can bring you pleasure you'll never get because God won't give them to you, because they'd be a blessing, and he'll withhold those. Satan doesn't tell you about all these things because he's a liar. And so our first lie that we've come across this morning, life's greatest pleasures come from doing things God forbids. Don't believe it. It's not true.
Until next